This evening, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Acts. And this evening, we're coming to Acts chapter 10. And we're looking at Peter as he's heading up to Caesarea. I don't know if you've ever had anybody that you felt, well, prejudiced against preaching to or teaching or sharing the gospel with. Maybe you felt, well, I don't know, that person, I'm upset with them for whatever reason, or I don't think that they're worthy of hearing, or I don't think they'd ever accept the gospel message. Well, if you think that that's been your attitude, it is a wrong attitude to possess, because the gospel's for all men. But this is really something that Peter was struggling with. His whole life, he'd been taught that the Gentiles were not to be associated with, that the Gentiles were really less than the Jews, and really the Orthodox Jews looked down on the Gentiles as really being dogs and unworthy of really associating with them. And they weren't supposed to go into their houses. They weren't supposed to eat with them. They weren't really supposed to have anything to do with them. But all of a sudden, they had failed to see the promise that God had given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And as we've been going through the book of Genesis during the Sunday school hour on Sunday mornings, as we've looked at Genesis and looked at the promise that was given to Abraham and then reaffirmed to Isaac and Jacob, the promise was that the Lord was going to bless not just the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but he was going to bless the whole world through them. And us being able to look back and see the events that transpired through history, we know that that blessing culminated when Jesus came through the line of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, through the line of David, and became the Messiah. He was the Messiah. Came to earth to take away the sin, not just of the Jews, but of the whole world. And Peter is learning this as God is revealing it to him. Last week we saw that Peter was shown all of the very unkosher foods, all the animals, both kosher and non-kosher. And the Lord said, kill, take, and eat. And Peter said, well, I wouldn't eat anything that is unclean. And God said, what I have said is clean is not unclean, it's clean. And he was showing Peter that Peter needed to understand that God had called all men to follow and worship him. Well, this evening we're going to be looking at what's going to transpire as Peter heads towards Caesarea from Joppa. Verse 24 of chapter 10 of the book of Acts. And tomorrow they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. And Peter took him up, saying, stand up. I myself also am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, you know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or to come into one of another nation. But God hath showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore, came I unto you without gainsaying as soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore what your intent ye have sent for me. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, Cornelius, thy prayers is heard, and thy alms had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon a tanner by the seaside, who when he cometh shall speak unto thee. Immediately therefore I sent to him to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. And the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. And the word, I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people, and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. To him give all prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, and they were circumcision, which believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Let's just bow in prayer. Lord, I pray that you'd just speak to us through your word tonight and help us to be open to respond to your leading, even as Peter was. Lord, to not be prejudiced, but to realize that the gospel needs to be taken to all people and all men. For you're not a respecter of persons. And Lord, I pray that you would just open our eyes and give us spirits of discernment so that we may understand who you are speaking to and whose hearts you are touching, that we may share the truth of your word with them. Lord, I pray that you bring into our lives people that we can share the gospel with. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. It's interesting, as Peter heads off to Joppa, he knows nothing about Cornelius, leaves Joppa and heading for Caesarea. He knows nothing about Cornelius, and Cornelius has heard of Peter. He's heard of Peter's preaching, and he's heard of what happened in Jerusalem with Jesus. He wants to know more. He wants to know what is this message all about. And God has told him, I'm going to bring Peter that he can tell you. Now, I want you to see who Peter takes with him. Remember, Cornelius had sent one of his soldiers along with two of his servants down to Peter. So they're going to come back with Peter, but Peter also brings brethren with him. Now, these brethren are Jewish believers, just as Peter's a Jewish believer. And it's important to understand that, because they're probably just as curious as anyone as to why God would have Peter go to a Gentile and share with him. But they're going. And so they're on their way to Caesarea. And while they're going, it's interesting what Cornelius is doing. He wants everyone that he knows that are his family and that are close to him to be there when Peter gets there so they can hear this message as well. And I want us to ask ourselves, are we that concerned about those that are our loved ones, that are in our family, and that are our close associates, that if we knew that someone was coming to share the gospel, we would gather them so that they could hear them? And if you can imagine, they're gathered in his house waiting for Peter to come. And Scripture tells us it takes Peter a day to get there, because they leave one day and they get there the next. It's about 30 miles, as I mentioned, from Joppa to Caesarea, and they had to walk. No taxis back then. And so he had to, as they're walking and it takes a little time to get there, Cornelius is making all the preparations for those that are around him to hear this message. When Peter arrives, the first thing he does is he goes to Cornelius' house, and what does he do? He immediately tells Cornelius what would not have been done under normal circumstances. He said unto him, "You know how it is that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company and or to come unto one of another nation." In other words, they weren't to fellowship with them. They weren't to have close relations. They weren't to enter into the houses of those people. Where do they get that from? Well, part of it goes back all the way to when they came out of Egypt and were coming into the Promised Land, and the Lord told them that they weren't to marry, they weren't to have association with the Canaanites, because he did not want them to become enamored with the Canaanite gods nor the Canaanite ways. Well, they took that to mean that you could not associate with them at all. Well, if you go back and look at Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you'll see that they did have doings with the Gentiles, and in some ways were witnesses to the Gentiles. For example, Abraham, if you remember, the Philistines were aware of Abraham's relationship to God, as well as Isaac's relationship to God, and acknowledged that when there was an incident in both of their lives where they had done that which was wrong, Abraham saying that Sarah was his sister, and when she really was his half-sister, but did it under the pretense of deception, not letting them know she was his she was his wife. And Isaac did the same thing with Rebecca, where he said she was his sister, and to this deception, both men not trusting God to keep them safe when they went to the Gentiles' nations, and the both of the kings of those cities were distraught when they found out they were their wives, because they said, "You've lied to us, and we could have something could have happened, and God's judgment would have come on us if we did something to these women." So we see that they understood the God of Abraham and Isaac, even though they were not worshipers of God, yet they saw in their lives something totally different. And God had really made the Jewish people a light unto the world. That's what they were to be. They were to be a light. They were given the law for a purpose, that is, that they could show a difference in their lives and draw people to them. You remember when the Jews came out of Egypt, there were Egyptians that came out of Egypt with the Jewish people, because it says there was a mixed multitude that came with them. Why did they come? Because they wanted to worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and they had seen the power of God, and they desired to worship Him. Well, sometimes people can lose sight of their main calling, feel a special position of privilege and fail to see the calling that God has placed on their life. Peter's eyes were being opened by God to the importance that Jesus had come not just for the Jew. And Luke, as he's writing this, reminds us of that fact, that Jesus didn't come just for the Jewish people, but he came to take away the sins of the whole world. And having said that, Peter is being instructed to take the gospel to Cornelius, a leader of the Italian band, as we saw last week. Now, as he's going there, he makes this mention of this, that a Jewish person normally wouldn't go in there. But why is he going in there? But he says, "But God hath showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Is there any man who's common or unclean? Well, there are men that are sinners. We're all sinners and need to be saved by grace. But even the most wicked, wretched person has one thing in common with everybody else, and that is they were created in the image of God, and God gave them life, and consequently, everyone who's in the world, no matter how wretched or wicked, has the opportunity to come to God through Jesus Christ and have their sins forgiven, because they have been created by God, and He desires, even as Scripture says, that no man should perish, but that all should come to a saving knowledge of the truth. And if we think that there's any that are beyond redemption, one can look in the Old Testament and see that two of the most wicked kings that lived, Nebuchadnezzar and Manasseh, both at the end of their life, came to acknowledge that God was the one that was worthy of praise, and God was the one that was worthy of worship, and both repented of their ways. And so we see that no man is beyond reach, but all men have the opportunity to accept or reject. And the sad thing is that many, many people reject the gospel message and want nothing to do with God. Well, so Peter comes, and as he's coming in the house, he says, nothing is common or unclean when it comes to man. What is going to happen? Therefore came I unto you. I've come unto you because God's revealed to me the importance of coming to you. You are a man who is seeking diligently to understand who Jesus is, why He came. You desire to worship God, and I'm coming to share these things with you. And so I was sent for by you, and I'm coming to you. And just as God had revealed to Peter he needed to go, He revealed to Cornelius he needed to call him, and so now they are together. Cornelius, in verse 30, says 4 days, and explains what had been happening and how that he'd been in prayer, and God had appeared to him and told him that he's going to send Peter there because Peter had a special message. And that special message was something that every person needs to hear. It's not enough to just be righteous. It's not enough to give alms and to pray, but we need to hear the gospel and need to be hear that Jesus is the way by which salvation comes. Verse 31, and said Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Cornelius had been crying out to God and desiring to worship Him, and now he's going to understand how to have this intimacy, sins forgiven, and intimate fellowship with God. Now, if you want to go down to verse 34, and Peter then opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. And this is something that we just talked about a moment ago. God doesn't respect persons. He looks at the heart. He doesn't look at lineages. He doesn't look at what our nationality is. He doesn't look at what church we were born into, or if we were not even ever attended church. But He looks at men's hearts, and He's not a respecter of persons. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, He is the Lord not just of Israel, but He's the Lord of all. That word I say ye know, which was published throughout all Judea, and began it from Galilee after the baptism of John was preached. Now, he's saying that that word had gone out throughout all of Israel, through the Galilee region. It began when? When John introduced Jesus and said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. And then he baptized Jesus, and behold, the Holy Spirit lighted down in the form of a dove upon the head of Jesus, and the Father spoke from heaven saying, behold, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. And so that was the introduction of the ministry of Jesus to the general public, and the fact that it was the introduction of Jesus' purpose in coming to earth, that He truly was the Lamb of God that had come to take away the sins of the world. All of Israel had heard of these things. They'd heard of Jesus' miracles. They heard of Jesus' healings. They heard of Jesus feeding the 5,000 and the 4,000. They've heard of all these things, and I'm sure that Cornelius had heard of many of them as well, as he had been stationed in the land of Israel. Peter goes on, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all the things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. And so he gets right to the point. He said that he did all these things, and yet he went to Jerusalem, and when he went to Jerusalem, they crucified him. Cornelius would have known exactly what he was speaking about, hanging a man on a tree, because that was the main way that the Romans dealt with the death sentence, was to crucify people. And he had heard that Jesus had been crucified. And yet, what was all of this about Jesus, that after he was crucified, yet he lived? And so Peter's going to be sharing the significance of Jesus' resurrection and what that means to us, and that it's a fact, not just a myth. Him God raised up for a third day and showed him openly. Now, he didn't show him openly to the unbelievers, but he showed him openly to the believers. And we know that the scriptures tell us that he first appeared to the apostles, appeared to the women, he appeared to the two on the road to Emmaus. He appeared to 500, it says, at one time. And later on, before his resurrection, he appeared again to the disciples at the Sea of Galilee. And then he appeared to them before he arose from the dead. I've shared with you before, and we won't take a lot of time, but just to mention that there have been many who have attempted to prove that Jesus did not rise from the dead. And yet we know that, for example, there was the lawyer, the professor from Harvard, that was a forensic attorney, and his specialty was proving cases. And he looked into the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and he was a skeptic and an agnostic, someone who was going to prove that Jesus didn't rise from the dead. At the end of all of his examination of the evidence, he became a believer in Jesus. And so the evidence is there. Peter shares that evidence in a condensed form with Cornelius, and he tells them that there was all these people that had seen Jesus, and the purpose of his resurrection, he tells him, and he commanded to us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead, that is, the living and the dead. God the Father had ordained the Son. We have that in the Old Testament, that he says that his Son is the one who will judge. And we know that from the Old Testament that Jesus is God. And so if he's going to be the one that's going to judge the living and the dead, and the Father ordained that, he's sharing that with Cornelius, but it doesn't stop there. To him give all the prophets witness. And so he's saying, you can go and read in what they would have of the scriptures, which would be the prophets, the law, the Psalms, and the Proverbs, and the writings of the scriptures. And when the prophets spoke of this coming Messiah, they were speaking of Jesus. And so he tells them, go and read the law. Go and read the prophets. And you will see that it speaks of Jesus, this coming Messiah. And he says, whosoever believeth in him, and this is the crux of the whole reason of going there, is so they can understand who Jesus is and what needs to be done. He says, that whosoever believeth in him shall receive the remission of sins. So in other words, you have to believe in not just the fact that Jesus was a good man, not just the fact that Jesus performed miracles, not just the fact that Jesus was a great teacher, but you have to believe that Jesus died, was buried, rose again from the dead, and that he is the one who will judge the living and the dead. He's the eternal God that will judge all things, but he came to forgive our sins and pay the penalty for our sins. And if we have faith in him, our sins are forgiven. And this would be something that Cornelius had been wanting to hear. How do I come into an intimate fellowship with God, more than just prayer, more than just giving, more than just worship, but rather I have this intimacy in becoming God's child. And so it says here that this is how it's done. And while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. So it wasn't just Cornelius that accepted Jesus that day, but it was evidently all those that he had brought in to hear them, because it says that the Spirit of God fell on them, not him. And it says that they uttered in tongues, and this was an evidentiary sign that God was saying the Gentiles will be saved as the Jews have been saved. Through the blood of my Son, and my Spirit shall rest on them, just as Jesus said to the apostles, I am going to send my Spirit to reside in you. It wasn't just for them, and it wasn't just for the Jewish believers, but it was for all that would come to faith in Christ, whether it was Jew or Gentile. That is why Paul later on said, there is neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, male nor female, but all are one in Christ. We are all the same in the Lord. We all are saved the same way. We are brought into fellowship the same way. We are given the same gift of the Holy Spirit in the same manner as far as receiving that gift. And God gives us the gifts that He would have us to use to bring glorify Him and to be used by Him. And it says, for they had heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized? And again, the concept of water baptism as a sign of what's happened inside your heart in an outward appearance is immediately done. One of, I think, the great things that we do wrong in many of our churches is withhold baptism for a long period of time and say, well, we need to instruct you more. You need to learn all the functions of the church. You need to learn more about the scriptures. No, if the person's saved, they're to come and make a statement of that salvation. And everywhere that we see that baptism occurs, it occurs immediately. It occurred immediately with the Ethiopian eunuch. It occurs immediately with these that are coming to Christ here. And so we see that this is something that should be done as soon as possible, that this person would make a statement to the world of what's happened in their heart. And so they came and they were baptized, and had they received the Holy Ghost. And then in verse 48 it says, and he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And they prayed, it says that Cornelius prayed that, or asked him, or pleaded with him, that is Peter, that he would stay a certain day. Well, I'm sure that he wanted to be taught more. There was a hunger to learn. And this is an evidence that you're really a believer as well. Do you have a hunger to learn more about God? When you came to Christ, did you want to experience the power of God in your life and experience the transformation that Cornelius experienced, and knowing his sins were forgiven, how they were forgiven, and what Jesus was going to do? Do you desire to walk with the Lord and learn more about God? And one of the sad things that we see in many people's lives that claim to be Christians today, they have no desire to learn from God's Word. They have no desire to have fellowship with Christians. They have no desire to be taught and to grow in God's Word. But yet, it's evident from what we're seeing in the lives of these people that are coming to know Christ, that's one of the first things they did. Ethiopian eunuch wanted to be taught. Cornelius wants to be taught. Do you want to be taught? Do you want to learn? Do you want to grow in Christ? Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you just help us to understand all these events, how that you just broke through the prejudice that Peter had, and you broke through the lack of understanding that Cornelius had to bring these men together, that Peter could share with Cornelius the truth of your word, and not only with him, but with all those he cared about that would come to hear as well. And Lord, you worked a mighty work in lives that day, bringing people into the kingdom. And it was a marvelous work done before the other Jewish believers as they saw that these Gentiles that came to Christ were really one in Jesus with them. And Lord, help us to realize that we are one with our brothers and sisters, and help us to be an encouragement to other Christians, and help us to reach out and to share the gospel with those that are desiring to know, as Cornelius was. Go with us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.